How's everybody?
Good morning.
Actually, she made it to the parking lot, but she had some sort of pool.
Yeah, I think we got it.
That's not good.
No.
So, call the meeting to order. At 9:00. And we do have a quorum, although one committee member, Cheryl Saskel, is not able to attend today and had been excused. And there is nothing in terms of the chairman's report at this time. Any comments or anything that I have really have relation to the agenda item, and so we've spoken there. The one thing I will ask, as Cheryl is not here, I don't know that we had ever appointed a secondary secretary. And although, good morning, Ms. Dean. And although Ted had relinquished the role to his assignment as vice president, I think for the day it will be satisfactory if he'll accept it to go ahead and record the meeting's minutes.
I am a volunteer.
Thank you, Ted. And is there any public comment for items unrelated to anything on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And the consent agenda item is consideration and approval of December 17 regular meeting minutes. And do I have any changes, corrections, or additions to the meeting minutes by anyone? All right.
What do we accept?
Seeing none, I'll take a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the December 17 meeting.
So moved. Wait, who's doing it? Who's doing it? Come on. I saw all sorts of hands up. Okay.
Well, it was verbally addressed by Marvin, so we'll take that.
Okay. Okay.
Mary secondly. Yeah, whichever. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'm going to abstain since I wasn't here.
So a vote of three yeas, one abstaining, and one absent from recording of the vote. So we move on to regular business, which is discussion regarding the 17-18 audit. As you will note, there isn't a significant amount of backup information as far as our packet's concerned today, which is indicative of the fact that we do not have the audit information for review. I will go ahead and turn it over to Ms. Duffield, our finance manager, just to be able to provide some feedback regarding the information on when we may be able to expect that. I will annotate that initially by saying that myself and President Farmer and GM Weigold and Ms. Duffield all had a conversation with the auditor to impress upon him the need to be able to meet the next date that he was providing us, which with the indication of delivery of the audit information. So, Ms. Duffield, do you have any additional information or anything to add to that?
Yes, so Mr. Bruner is supposed to have the audit to us for our first look at it by the end of business tomorrow.
Sorry, by the end of when?
By the end of business tomorrow. So that is his revised date after we all conference called him, what was it, this Monday a week ago? Was that correct? It was like maybe the 13th.
Yes, true statement.
Right. So
at that time, that date was the 22nd, so that indicates it's pulled back at least one day.
Yeah. No, the 22nd
March
is tomorrow, 22nd. Isn't it?
Yeah.
21st, 22nd, yes. That's
thank
right.
You. Yes, so he met his date. I had some
We don't know yet.
We hope.
Yeah, so we thought it was important to have a conference call with him after we talked internally. When I talked with the general manager, Mr. Weigold, and he talked with both Director Steidel, or Vice President Steidel, and President Farmer, we decided that it was probably time that we had a conversation with him again to find out, like, you know, what is the holdup. So, you know, 3 dates now have slipped, and now we're going into the end of January, which means it can't come to the Finance Committee until February, and then has to follow up with the board later in February. So there was no real concrete reason that he provided other than saying, you know, there's other things that he's been working on, the holidays got him behind a little bit, and that he's, you know, really, really working hard, him and his staff, to get the report completed. So he has asked me questions just about daily since we had our conference call with him. So him and I have been corresponding via email on some last minute questions he's had. It's a little disturbing to me, the questions that he's had in the 11th hour. They're things that we addressed and, you know, documented like around the first or second time that he came out in the field on it. So, you know, it didn't take a lot of research on my part, but it should just be things that he had already had documented that we've gone through. So, other than that, I don't really have any concrete information on, you know, the next steps with them.
Okay, so by close of business tomorrow.
He's supposed to give us a
And did he give you any indication if there were any outstanding large items or issues that he'd be bringing as part of the audit package? Or?
No, not that I'm aware of. I'm sure we're going to have some recommendations. You know, I would expect there to be recommendations just because our financial affairs have not been in order like they should have been. You know, as a district, as, you know, dealing with taxpayer dollars, you know, we were not doing things like we should have done. You know, our bank records were behind. That's critically important that those are kept current. So, you know, our cash handling was a little loosey-goosey, if you, so to speak.
In terms of its recording.
Yeah, and just the same person was doing multiple things. Granted, with a small staff, it's hard to not have the same person doing multiple functions. But you've got to be able to not have the same person managing the cash drawer that's taking everything to the bank. You know, you've got to have some separation of duties. So, you know, I immediately upon hiring in saw that there was a little bit of a concern there to me and made immediate changes. You know, and that was before I knew that there were some missing deposits. So, you know, some cash that should have gone to the bank but never went to the bank. So, you know, we put things in place. You know, the dollar amount of the missing cash is not material in his eyes. But to me, it's a huge deal.
In terms of process and accountability.
It is. Totally.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, you know, so those things I would expect him to make recommendations on. But as far as having an official finding, him and I have not had that conversation. And I think by now, we would have had that conversation.
Right.
You know, I would have known that there's something significant that he found that wasn't handled properly. So, I just, like I said, I wouldn't expect any findings, but I do expect some recommendations for him.
Okay. Now, upon receipt of that audit information, your review of that information and being able to provide some feedback in terms of timeline of whether it would make the first or the second meeting in February, what kind of actions are happening on our side of the...
So, it would be my desire to make it during the second meeting of the month. That gives us time to review it. That gives me time to review it with the general manager and And then, you know, if we request any changes or we notice any errors that are on there, it gives, you know, the auditor time to have those discussions, make those changes, and have a good product. At this point in time, I would not personally want to rush it, because I would hate for it to get to your committee or the board and notice something blatantly obvious that should have been corrected, and now we're out of time with doing that. And we've waited all this time. I don't want to take a four-word product to the board.
Right. So that also being the case, then, it probably sounds like our next board meeting and being able to review the audit data is going to be dependent on the turnaround that Pam is comfortable with the audit information and bringing it to us. So it's entirely possible that we would have a special meeting next month to be able to look at that, depending on the timing. So keep a close status on that and be able to advise the committee as soon as possible about that, so that we also have sufficient time to be able to take a look at the information moving forward, which I feel that we would probably want to do also.
Will there be a printed copy of the audit report for us?
Yes, and we would include that with your packet.
And is there any way that we can have that sooner than just 2 or 3 days before the next meeting we have?
You know, it's difficult to know what the timing is going to be.
I understand when you all finish your review and everything of it, but what would normally be a final product which would come to us, can that be done when you're finished with it?
I'm not sure.
Email, you know, or printed copy of
the conversation. Well, we can't email it to everybody because then that could be I don't honestly know.
It has to be part of an agenda and
an audit review agenda. Would be a violation of the Brown Act?
No, I'm saying if I emailed the report out to the entire committee.
Independent of it being a meeting? Because it comes out with the meeting.
It comes out with the agenda.
It comes out with the agenda.
It's announced
so you can't
the agenda
do it
for public. Yeah.
Right. So if I'm just emailing it to the whole committee in advance of that agenda, I don't know if that is a violation.
You may want to check with Tim Carmel about that. I think that you as staff can do that, that any one of us as
committee members
would not be able to. So it's possible, but it really depends on timing of what you can do, Pam. So can I make a couple of comments?
Absolutely.
This delay and delay and delay, I realize, is not under the district's direct control. And I'm sure Pam is probably more frustrated about the situation than we are as a committee. But it reflects very poorly on the district to have something go this long. And so I would recommend that number one, and we have two more audits that reasonably should be completed by October of next year. October of this year. Well, next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Not there. I just snuck out of that one.
Yeah.
I would suggest two actions. One, to find out from Mr. Bruner exactly what he expects to do as remediation and put hard date targets on the upcoming work that he has to agree to. We can't just arbitrarily make up dates, but he needs to agree to it. The second thing I would do is begin drafting a request for proposal to replace him. Because if his remediation plan is not sufficient, I think the district has every right to recognize the disastrous performance and move on to somebody else that can actually do the job. Changing auditors is not just a knee-jerk thing to do. When a new auditor comes on board, they generally have to go back and review the work from prior years before they can come back up to speed. So I wouldn't do it lightly, but the CCSD has not been well served by this gentleman, and that is not a situation that I think the district should allow to continue.
Can I ask a question? Is this the same auditor we have been using in the past, or is this a new auditor for us for this particular time?
He was the auditor who did our last audit, 16-17 audit.
And how did he perform for that? Obviously, finding mistakes now.
Well, he didn't have a lot of staff support during the first audit because it was the transition period when the former finance manager was transitioning into the job and then in the midst of it, out of the job. So he had some struggles with information and how he had received information, and that was the critical year that he should have been able to have a look back into past audits, and he did not get that. So for 17-18, that's pretty much what we've been doing, is we've been doing his real first year audit of the books and confirming balances and why balances are what they are. We've done a lot of historic look back.
Tying the account.
Which should have been done in the 16-17 audit that wasn't done.
And that's another reason why he's not somebody that has a lot of credibility, as far as I'm concerned. His signature was on that 16-17 audit.
Agreed.
And the controls were not there, period. So, he's got two big strikes against him, and I urge you to consider moving on unless he has a fully credible path to improving his performance.
Thank you.
We could probably all second that, but you probably know that.
Yes. Yeah.
He just said it so well. There's not much else to be said.
I agree. I know that the committee as a whole has not been satisfied with this process. I think that Ted very well put to words what everyone on the committee had been feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think we've been very understanding too.
It's also a legal question because we are under contract with them, and part of the responsibility for the state of the financials is our responsibility. I mean, granted, he's had to delay coming here. He's 3 hours away. That doesn't make it easy to get him here. Part of it is our financial house was not in order.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, but he kept making commitments.
Number one, he should have highlighted that in the 16-17 audit.
Yeah, but I don't think he was made aware of it.
Well, but how can you
on an Excel spreadsheet and not in months? He didn't know that. There would be no way that he would know that they were doing stuff outside the financial system.
Well, that's
nobody knew until
I guess that's setting a pretty low.
Why are we not doing the bankruptcy?
I guess that's setting a pretty low expectation for what an auditor would do, because testing systems is part of the work. But the delays his first commitment was October.
Yeah. If you take out the delays are a
performance issue right there. You know, if you believe it's a legal issue, I'd suggest you talk to Mr. Carmel.
Saying we are under contract.
Well, I talked to Mr. Carmel about it, but I you know, seriously, Pam, I have a lot of faith in the work that you're doing to bring everything up to where it should be. I think that the next two audits should go a lot more smoothly because the problems should be pretty well behind us. And whatever recommendations he's making months and months too late because you've already implemented
the
changes. So this isn't about you, but the fact is that these delays reflect very poorly on the district. If the district were in a place where it needed to borrow, for instance, wouldn't be able to do it. Okay. I mean, this is we have a town full of people who are, if I say it kindly, I would say concerned. Mostly, I'd say just plain don't trust the district, and don't trust the district because partly because the finances are not as transparent as they should be. You're working hard to change that. We're trying to support that effort, and not having an audit and having it delayed and delayed and delayed is the kind of thing that people who criticize the district are going to say, you know, what's the matter with these people? It's not getting done. These are just compounding the issues that we have, and I think that it's important for the district to be in control of its processes in such a way that the general public will respond and say yes, things are better. We just don't have all of the evidence of it yet, and I'd like to make sure the evidence is there. I think the delays that we've experienced, for us, okay, we've wasted some meeting time. That, you know, we're all retired, right? It doesn't matter very much. If I have to come and sit in a room with a bunch of people, this is a really nice bunch of people to come and sit in a room with. So that's not my issue. My issue is really about how it reflects on the district. And those delays reflect very poorly on the district. And I think it's time to take action to change the picture. And the picture is either going to be changed by Mr. Bruner stepping up and doing what he says he's going to do, or finding somebody else who will. It's the old Lee Iacocca, lead, follow, or get out of the way. You're probably too young to remember that. It was his motto when he took over Chrysler, yeah. Which was bankrupt at the time. But I've spoken my piece.
Thank you.
I'll leave it there.
Well, I would say that I think we've been very patient and understanding, up to this point too. So points well taken on that. I think it's time to. He steps up and recognizes the fact that, he's got a contractual obligation to us too to perform and have work ready whenever he says that it's going to be ready. And frankly, I'm very disappointed this morning that we don't have it in front of us, that it's going to be tomorrow. It seems like it's been tomorrow since October. know. So it cost the district for us to come in and sit down and have a meeting like this. I mean, it's extra cost. So, yeah, I think it's time that, you know, if he can't do the work, even though he's contractually, we are contractually obligated to him, you know, for the next session, if he can't perform, that's certainly a non-performance issue. And I don't think that, again, we'd need to get legal staff to give an opinion on that. But I'm not saying now's the time to get rid of the gentleman, but I'm saying I think we've got some very substantial room here to make a change if we need to. But let's see what we get, see what the quality of the
product is.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hope that that does come through tomorrow. But we've been very understanding about, you know, what a mess that you had to take over and correct, and he couldn't do his work until that was done. But I think he's been putting us off when he should have been putting us at the head of the line also.
Yeah. I don't have any insight to that, but I agree there's an element of, you know, I don't know what his client base is. I don't know what, you know, what his staff availabilities were during certain times or anything to have impacted it. But just to, so that you're aware, in the conversation that President Farmer and myself and the GM and our finance manager had with Mr. Bruner was pretty honest and pretty specific in our expectations.
Would it not be appropriate to have legal counsel document and send him a letter saying that he has not performed according to our contract and that this has to change or what the consequences might be?
Well,
put it on record.
I think I would do that if we don't get anything tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think I would take that step.
Let's and see what if, we get
if for nothing else, and maybe do this anyways, is let the legal counsel know the situation. But I would think to do that step after tomorrow if we don't get it, because I don't have. I mean, we'll see.
And I would certainly, take that back as recommendation to the board members. Well, so much of it is writing on what the result is.
Let's go.
Okay. So we probably, I think we're all in agreement in our consideration of that and what we feel is necessary and needed. Okay. Are there any other comments then about the agenda item? Okay, with that being the case, then we'll move on to future agenda items. There is something that I'd like to make sure that we get onto the next agenda. And I'm not, I wanted to get some clarification from you on the process that we had used on this before. That has to do with moving through the acknowledgement recommendation of budget shifts in budget as recommended by the R&I committee, because the last time that happened we took through the finance committee and the finance committee then recommended to move forward with what had been proposed, and then that was brought to the board as a staff item.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, so resource and infrastructure just last week, it was last week's meeting. I don't know, the days are kind of getting mixed up in my head. I think it was last week we took an action item to R&I to reallocate some budget for two emergent repairs, one in the wastewater fund and one in the water fund. So they approved those recommendations to come forward to finance. So that will be inclusive in the second quarter report, which will be during the February meeting as well. I'm planning on having that packaged and ready for for the February or the second or
So there would be an expectation to work it through our agenda. Then
yes, right.
Next
just
month.
Like we did on the first
order.
You guys, there was an action item that was late, you know, like item B or whatever it was, to reallocate project dollars. It was no direct budget impact. It was just a reallocation of funds. And then the very next item we discussed was the quarterly report.
Okay. Any other future agenda items that anyone has?
No, it's not already on here. The completed CIP project review is always, you know, on my mind, and I see that's already there.
It's on the minutes from last time, because I'm looking over his shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, it's on the minutes from last week meeting, if you look at that page.
Right.
So number
now,
two.
That's kind of an interesting, and there was some conversation, and Ms. Dean, as you're here, if you wouldn't mind a little conversation about this. Interestingly enough, I had kind of had something in the back of my head when this came up for conversation as it was, because it seemed to me to be a natural interaction between the R&I committee and the finance committee. And initially, we had some members of the public that were here that were looking to have finance give that kind of feedback, and it fell out naturally as part of the quarterly review that information got there. But I do agree that as a process, I think that the R&I committee is the one who established the CIP list, who would maintain the CIP list for reference. And then as there were actual physical accomplishments of the task to be able to acknowledge those. And if there's any action that needs to come out of that financially as far as the budget or in any other form, then it would move forward to the Finance Committee. And then on a regular basis, it was something that the finance manager Ms. Duffield would incorporate as part of the quarterly review, but in terms of a monthly update or an accomplishment report, it seemed to me that the R&I committee was thinking of that as being a part of the utility manager's report. Is that a true statement?
Yeah. We really appreciated the fact that Ms. Duffield put that list of accomplishments on the bottom of the finance report for the last quarter. I think that the public is looking for having something in writing showing where their funds have been used. But we did discuss looking at the CIP list and maybe recolor coding it so that it shows the items that were done, maybe one color for things that were done and another color for things that are being worked on, and then possibly posting it on the board like we had done in the past so that the public can look at that CIP list posted on the wall of a CCSD meeting and see where we are on that. We also talked about having the utility manager's report not only talk about the issues that have come up during the past month, but also what it is on the CIP list that they might possibly be working on at that time or have accomplished or are getting ready to start on. Director Pearson had also talked about the possibility of maybe something like Caltrans does, your rate dollars at work, having something posted periodically showing that, hey, here's the Vactor truck. You know, this is something that was on the CIP list, we've gotten it, you know, things like that. We're going to be putting on the next agenda an idea that one of our committee members have of possibly doing little 3-minute videos to have at a CCSD meeting, showing some of the things on the CIP list and explaining them so people understand what it is we're looking at doing, along with possibly some self-help issues, conservation things.
As in checking your meters or?
Yeah, checking your meters, how to unclog.
Pressure
that.
Flows.
Yeah, you know, things like that. So we're working, that's one of the things we're going to be working on is how to get it out to the public better to show what it is being done. So they don't think we're just ignoring all of this.
Right. Well, with all of this being new in structure, it's working out the opportunities and how to move the information forward. And yeah. So it's kind
that's
of,
what we're going to be yeah. working on, how to get that information.
Okay. So I'm not expecting that we would have CIP review items for this committee unless there were budgetary considerations or financial impacts out of some action in reviewing going forward and taking a look at, you know, a contract for purchase of, you know, a large piece of equipment if for some reason there were some oddities to it or some considerations or yeah. So I think most of it in terms of information and statusing to the community in terms of accomplishment, physical accomplishment of the CIP items is probably going to reside with the R&I committee.
Yeah,
that's fine. The fact is, it just seemed like that information was being lost and not gotten out to the public.
I agree.
That was my only point. You know, whether it starts here is just to report,
right.
You know, this is completed. The color coding, the charts on the wall, you know, I've suggested that in the way that the rate increases were put up in the bids, all, you know, when that was voted on, we do a checklist of completed now that the money has been spent in those areas. So if this is being done, that really
doesn't... And this has just evolved, recently,
yeah.
I mean within weeks, if not a week, so yeah.
This is good. as far as it being a direct responsibility of this committee, it's probably not. It's just that we are, and I'm sure there's been other board members too, and the public comes up and says, well, are you spending our money the way that you told us that you were going to? And up until the last report, on the quarterly report, it was hard to say, yes, we've done this, 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 and this,
mm-hmm.
because the information just wasn't there. But it sounds like we're getting right exactly where we need to
be. We've got the building blocks going. Yeah.
So.
You're also probably going to have, in our next agenda, we're reallocating some funds again. And Pam's going to meet with us to discuss that, the $95,000 down payment for the after truck that we didn't need. So I'm sure that's going to be.
Right.
If it's at our next R&I committee meeting, will it be in time for their next finance committee meeting? Or is it
going to be? It'll be a third quarter adjustment. I can't hold up the second quarter to do that. So I'm trying to keep the budget adjustments confined to what's really happening in the update range. So when we purchased the two pumps that had to be purchased for water and wastewater, that truly happened as a result of the second quarter dates, which is October 1st to December 31st. So I'm just trying to keep things aligned so that people get used to those dates, and when we talk about things that happened in that quarter, that, you know, we're kind of, you know, it's baby steps. We're trying to align and come up with quarterly reporting and what that really means versus what had done in the past is that we went to the board with the final budget in August. We had a mid-year budget in February-ish. And then nobody heard anything on the budget until we're closing the books in, you know, June to July. And like, okay, well, here's the problem. Why didn't we know about this problem 6 months ago? So I'm really trying to establish some guidelines and some date criteria to move forward. So an additional item that the board approved that doesn't have to go through R&I and doesn't have to go to finance was the reallocation of the fire department's radios. So they had a grant, they lost the grant, and the board took action I think it was the first meeting in January? Is it the first meeting in December? I think it was the first meeting in, or the second meeting
December.
In December. That the board took action on reallocating those funds. So I still have to do a formal budget adjustment, but it won't be necessary to go through the committees because the board has already approved that
action.
But it will be memorialized as part of the second quarter report and included in a budget adjustment.
All of that's absolutely the right thing to do, with the one caveat that we not get so far behind in our quarterly reports that the information is useless. And you're not doing that, but we have seen in the past that quarterly reports and semi-annual reports have happened so late that you know, the next quarter is already finished before the report's done. So
I don't know that there really were quarterly reports.
Well, there weren't quarterly. It was the mid-year budget. The mid-year budget in the past years has been as late as April. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's useless.
Right. That's why I'm trying to really focus on time.
Right.
And really zero in the alignment. On what really happened. Talked about what happened in the first quarter already, so what really happened in the second?
Yeah, and you know, so I'm only raising the issue that timeliness of the reporting is also, I mean, having the rigor about dates is important. Having the rigor about timely reporting is also important.
Right. And I feel that we're moving towards that also because of the budget policy that was established that established a quarterly reporting of information, mm-hmm. which I think was key to help move forward the visibility of information and keeping things fresh in terms of in moving through the fiscal year. And the other side of that coin is that Ms. Duffield shares that same focus and commitment, and so I think it's added and created a really positive aspect for the community. So
I think
to all of us,
it's work well done.
Okay, any other future agenda items that anyone would like to see? We fall to the audit. Okay. Well, with that being said, are there any other comments otherwise before I wait? Yes,
Steve. I would just like to say how grateful I am for all of you and for your expertise and your oversight. And for Ms. Duffield, I don't think the district could have found a better finance person. You're doing an excellent job.
I'll second that regarding Ms. Duffield.
And
thank you. All right, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting today, and if for some reason it's necessary to do a special meeting date due to the movement of the audit report, I obviously will advise you as quickly as possible, and we'll move from there.
Cool.
Thank you all for coming today.
Thank you.